as a compliment. All right, well, we do have a lot to cover, and we are talking about a text that is has one of the most well-known, most quoted things that Jesus said. The text we have this morning in Matthew 7. Cheryl's kind enough to put it on the Facebook page if you wanted to read it in advance. That will help you as well. If you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew 7, we're going to look at a text that I believe God has opened up for us to really do something big in our lives. It even convicted me this morning. So, my wife is traveling. She travels for her job. She's in Minnesota this week, and my mom and I, without Dana's help, not to my mom's fault, but to my own, we were late this morning. And I, on the way here, guess what I was thinking? I'll tell them it was my mom's fault. Now you know what that is, right? That's the simple nature. And the Holy Spirit said, no, whose fault was it? It was mine, no matter what, right? That's what Jesus does for us. I don't know if you've ever seen a therapist. At some point in my life, I have. And I'll tell you what, if you've got a good one, they're going to say to you, there's an elephant in the room. Are you sure you want to see it? That's a good therapist, because they're going to point it right back at you. Because the only one who can change is you. Well, Jesus is the greatest therapist there ever was, the greatest counselor. I'm going to start out by reading this morning Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. In fact, he says more. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? In your name, they know good theology. But Jesus has something to say to them. Wow, verse 23. I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. What is going on? I don't know if you've ever heard this verse before, but I've heard Christians quote this with a little bit of fear. Like, remember what Jesus said? No. Lord, to the people who thought they knew him so well, they had good theology. Whenever the word is repeated in the New Testament, like, Lord, Lord, it implies excitement and passion and intimacy. Like, we really know Jesus. They're doing everything right. And they continue. The things they say, Jesus didn't pick these things randomly. He picked these things because he's talking to a Jewish audience. And the biggest, the most spiritual person they knew of was a prophet. Right? So they say to Jesus, did we prophesy your name? In other words, weren't we spiritual superstars? That's what they're saying. Drive out demons in your name? Didn't we have your power and perform many miracles? I never knew you. They thought they knew him, but they didn't. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. May the lights go on in our lives. Point one is Jesus wants to save us from Christian denial. Not everyone who thinks they're a Christian is. We want to examine ourselves. Because we want to know what Jesus is talking about in this text. Let's go down to verse 24. And let's start at the next verse. By the way, this is the last story Jesus told for the Sermon on the Mount. He's wrapping it up. So, I don't know if you were last week, but he talked about how it's impossible to obey all the commandments. Like, if you're angry with someone and call them a fool, you're guilty of murder. If you coveted someone else's wife or coveted something they had, you're guilty of lust, I mean, of adultery. Wow, Jesus is just hitting hard, make sure everyone knew they couldn't obey the commandments perfectly. Nobody's righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness, our filthy rags, the Bible says. So Jesus sums it up by giving us two options. You're either one or the other. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. There's no unless, there's no and, there's just the one way to put your house on the rock. You hear Jesus' words and put them into action. So when the rain comes down, the streams rise, the winds blow, and beats against the house, it will not fall because it had the foundation on that rock. God, right? Jesus, right? Our rock is based on Jesus and nothing else, like we just sang. Then there's the other option, verse 26. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and great was its crash. Great was its fall. Let me ask you something. Do you think the person who built their house on the sand thought, well, I'm going to build my house on sand even though it's probably going to collapse? I don't think so. They were in denial. Right? They're like, oh, it'll work. My foundation's special. It will go right through the sand. It will float on the sand. They thought they had it. But Jesus says when times get rough, when judgment day comes, they're not on the rock because there's only one rock. Great is the crash. In other words, they're surprised. They're surprised. Great is the crash. All right, let's go to 22 here. Jesus is about to do an eye exam. I was going to bring a 2x4 and a toothpick for you, but I was running late. So Jesus does an eye exam, and read it yourself, but I'll just plan it. Basically, he says, you look at the speck in someone else's eye. The whole time, you have a 2x4 in your own eye. He didn't say, maybe you have a 2x4 in your eye. He didn't say, some of you have a 2x4 in your eye. He said, everyone has a 2x4 in their eye. Look at how it's worded. You have a plank. Jesus is doing an eye exam. Do you remember doing an eye exam? This is Jesus doing an eye exam. You put your eyeball up close, and they're like, get ready, but try not to blink. And they blow this huge pop in your eye. Is that pleasant? I didn't like it. Has anyone else had that exam? Yeah, okay. Three of us? Really? All right, thank you. Yeah, Jesus is popping right into our eyes saying, look at yourself. Do you have any idea? Do I have any idea how revolutionary this is? I've done a lot of counseling with married couples, and it's interesting how much they have in common when they're fighting. Whatever they're fighting about, the fight turns from what they're fighting about to whose fault it is that they're fighting. So they don't even, sometimes they don't even remember what they're fighting about. It's your fault we're fighting. You did it. No, you did it. You started it. Anyone you're close to, child, parent, a sibling, what if we all said, I need to look at my log in my eye before I look at yours? Jesus is trying to save us from building our house on the sand. Have a plank and own it. Here's an application. Put a little 2x4 on your dresser and every morning go, that's mine. It will save you from judging people. It'll save you from self-righteousness. Jesus' words are amazingly brilliant. Verse 7, he talks about, you know, pray for help on this. God loves you. And when we came to comprehend God's love for us, but think about how much if you have a child, how much you love your own child. You know, when one of my kids is being anti-authoritative and doing things, he doesn't want to, oh, there it goes. He's a lot like me, all right? I'll just say that. Why is that? Because I love him so much. By the way, my son is a brilliant young man. I'm very proud of him. I need to say that. He's a very strong Christian. I'm so impressed with him. But Jesus says, think of your own kids. How much do you love them? God loves you more. Pray for help. God, I don't want to be a self-righteous Christian. I want to be full of love. Help me with my critical spirit. Help me to not be around people who are negative and critical and judgmental, unless I can be salt in that. So, 2 is assume you have the plan. 3 is pray for help. And 4, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate because it leads to life. The way is broad. The gate is broad that does not lead to life. And most people are going that way. Enter through the narrow gate. And I always thought, you know, we have our crosses to bear and burdens. And then I started looking at this in the context. You always want to read the Bible in its context. Otherwise, you can take a verse and make it mean whatever you want. You take it in its context. Jesus is helping us to build our house on the rock. Right? What does he mean, enter the narrow gate? By the way, the word narrow in the Greek is more like there's no space. It's the same word we use for a straitjacket. When someone's put in a straitjacket, they can't move. You have to enter the narrow gate. It reminded me recently when we were coming home from Florida on our vacation in Miami Airport. And we had to go through security. Well, at the airport, there was 2 lines, only 2 ways out, and that's what Jesus is telling us. There's only 2 paths. There's only 2 gates. Which one are you going to get in? There was the line for the women's bathroom, right? It's never the men's. And there's the line for security. Well, we got in that line, and we're like, oh, brother. It's a good thing we got here 2.5 hours in advance, because it was long and slow. And then we're thinking about it. We got a little cooler full of water. And we're like, we can't do this. So we're making friends with everyone that's around us. We wanted water. We wanted water. It was 90 degrees outside. Everyone's like, yeah, yeah. We get up there, of course, and we have to empty our backpack and take out our computer, our cell phone, our change, everything. I'm in sandals. The guy says, your shoes. I'll be barefoot. Take them off. Drop everything, brothers and sisters. Drop everything. Drop everything that you think you have to earn God's favor. You already have it. If you believe what Jesus did for you on the cross. We serve him. We do good works for him out of love. We have an obligation, a debt to pay out of love, not to earn God's favor. Paul wrote in Galatians, you cannot add one thing on to what Jesus Christ did, or he died for naught. Nothing. It's all Jesus. Jesus, enter the narrow gate. You want to build your house on the rock? Enter the narrow gate. Drop everything, even your good works, if you think they earn you God's favor. You don't want to live a life on a treadmill of performance. Where God loves me, let's say I was picking one of these flowers, which are beautiful, so I won't. You know, God loves me, God loves me not. I read my Bible today, God loves me. Oh, I sinned and I was mean to someone, God loves me not. It doesn't work like that, thank God. God's favor is upon you because of what he did for you on the cross. cling to the cross. Drop everything you think you have that makes you good. Look at verse 28 and 29, ends the chapter. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed. They were amazed, right? Have you ever heard the word semantic drift? Any English teachers in here? Semantic drift? Semantic drift is where you take a word like awesome. You know the word awesome has the word awe in it? So a pizza is not awesome, right? A certain toy or a certain car is not awesome. Something that's awesome, you want to get down on your knees and worship. That's awesome. That's called semantic drift. Bible interpreters, I feel like they sometimes, that's why it's important to use various translations. They take a word, if you look in the dictionary, but that's not necessarily how it's used anymore. Awesome doesn't mean awesome, and amazing doesn't mean amazing anymore. Oh, that's amazing. Wow, some of the back there. That's amazing. Pastor's really for church. That's amazing. You know what this word means? It's kind of like that special piece of music that Mark did. It struck them. It literally means to strike. It's like that pop in your eyeball. Except they left away. They left there with a little bit of fear. Like, whoa, he just took in this sermon everything that we thought gets us saved and said it means nothing. We have to drop it. That's why they were struck. May God strike us dead to our good works that give his pleasure. You have to drop everything. Yep. You know, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 is such a beautiful text. It's worth memorizing. It's another one of those texts. Highly recommend you put on your mirror. Put a little sticky note in your Bible. Look it up at least once a week, if not every day. It's so amazing. And the whole, I would say 2, 1 through 10, but let's just do verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And what you do to get God's pleasure. Right? No. No. This is not your own doing. It's a gift of God. Not as a result of works. Could he be more clear? So that no one can boast. No one's better than anyone else in the Christian economy. In the Christian church, we're all equal. And to make it even worse, this whole sermon was Jesus not talking about the people we consider bad sinners. What do we consider bad sinners? Murderers, serial killers, rapists, people who are violent, right? No, because they wouldn't be in shock. Who's in shock? The people who thought they were good. Jesus isn't messing around. He is trying to really strike us as well. Let me end with this. And I've said this, and I've heard this from many of you. So when I talk about this a little bit, I just want to cover it. Why then do we do good works? If it's all Jesus and not us, why then do we do, why do we come here on a Saturday and order meals to people? Why do we serve? Why do we clean up the bulletins? Why do we serve communion? Whatever you do to volunteer for the Lord, why do you do it? Ephesians 2:10 tells us. After he talks about how we're saved completely by grace through faith without works, he ends it with that train of thought with, for we are his workmanship. We're special. You were specially made. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What you'll find is when you serve God by good works for the right reason, you have the joy. You found your purpose. Why work? Well, why does a flower bloom? It was made to bloom. God created you to work and serve Him.